All right, I'd like to call to order our October 18th, 2023 Board of Port Commissioners for Ventura Harbor. Let's start with a Pledge of Allegiance.
Victor, would you mind leading us in a pledge?
Myself?
Yes.
Okay,
Sorry.
just Victor. Okay.
Sorry, man. I think we can.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I always say I shouldn't surprise people, but I always surprise people. So you did.
It's good. See if you listen. That's right.
All right, roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens,
Here.
Commissioner Brennan,
Present.
Commissioner Rainey,
Present.
Chair Blumenberg,
Here.
and Vice Chair Gardena will be absent today.
Okay, next thing on our agenda is adoption of the agendas. Commissioners, what do you think?
Move approval of the agenda as presented.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Okay, we'll move on to the minutes from our October 4th Port Commission meeting. Commissioners, what do you think of those minutes?
I'll move the item.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the October 4th commission meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I will abstain because I was not in attendance at that meeting. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, the minutes are approved. We'll move on to public communications, an opportunity set aside for the public to discuss items that are not on tonight's agenda. And I think we have Council Member Bill McReynolds with us tonight. Bill, if you turn it over to you. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to be here. So I want to make a commitment to try to come in here quarterly to as the liaison from the City Council to the Port District. And thank you very much for your time and service. And so just kind of wanted to hit a couple highlights from the last quarter that the city's been working on. Land use has been probably our biggest item. We're going through the general plan update, and for the last, well, every meeting, seems like we've had a land use item on it. And some of that directly affects the district on it. And I know we've been in communication with the general manager. So in July, the two big items is we reviewed the climate action plan, and we provided that endorsement to the staff. And that'll be moving forward. It'll be part of the general plan when it ultimately comes up. In regards to the general plan, we have set a landing date that we've already missed, but we set a landing date of August 5th, 2024 to adopt the document. Our land use discussions have kind of probably pushed us out a couple months on that. But we are looking to get something before the Coastal Commission, before the end of the 24 calendar year, so that we can get that adopted fully. So I know staff, in terms of the port staff and the city staff, have been working together on that. But I know you guys are very, interested in how those all relate together on it. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet the new city manager. Bill Ayoub came on August 8th. And then we also, at that August 8th meeting, we readopted our housing element. I don't think a lot of people realize. I was surprised to learn that you guys probably have 1% of the population here in the district, in between the liveaboards and Portside on it. So the housing element was adopted, and it was certified by the state on August 9th, or October 9th, sorry, October 9th. So just a couple of weeks ago. So directly because of that, we got the La Quinta funding. The $23 million grant is a direct result of the housing element getting adopted on it. Let's see. Just for we're updating the police facilities, and then in September 11th we talked about the West Side. We were considering getting rid of all jobs in Ventura, but we decided to keep them. So we thought about it, but we decided to keep them. So that was on the West Side. At the September 25th meeting, we're actually annexing a piece of property right here at Olivas and Harbor, 10-acre site, into the city. And that's where we're the Ventura Water Pier, which I know you guys have been a key player in, and thank you for your support of that. Finally, let's see, we general plan land use, we've pretty much gone through everything. We've extended the Thomas Fire rebuild. We're going to be doing a city charter process amendment. We're looking at some cleanup language. For example, the state of California does not recognize the term deputy mayor. They require everybody to be mayor pro tem. Our city charter uses the term deputy mayor. So we're going to put some cleanup items forward to the voters in November of 24. So we're starting that process now, changing councilman to council member, things like that that are in the charter. And then finally, it's all about the general plan right now. So again, if we'll be hoping to land the plane on this coming Monday night, the 23rd. And again, that only starts the EIR process. Nothing is adopted. Nothing is final. That's really August of 24 that we're shooting for that. So with that, I just wanted to provide you guys that update, and I want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thanks for the update. And I didn't know whether to be envious or sympathetic about the amount of public turnout that you guys got for the land use discussions. It was... You had 50 comments per night, per issue. All right, public comments.
Chair, if I might, please. And Bill, on your way in, I don't know if you noticed the lovely pipe going down the middle of the street. To you. Yeah, just pat it on the back as you go by. We're happy to partner with the city, but making sure that everything's works for both sides.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have other public comments for tonight? Items not on the agenda. Seeing nobody in sight, do we have any public comments online? No public comments online. So we will close public communications and move on to our closed session report. Council?
Chair Blumenberg, members of the board. The board met in closed session to discuss the two items on the agenda, and no reportable action was taken.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to board communications, an opportunity for board members to give brief reports on board-related issues. Commissioners, comments?
I have one. I took my sons to Harbor Village and wanted to remind everyone that Saturday, October the 28th, from noon to 2 p.m., is the Halloween dog costume contest. I know you're all waiting for that. It opens up on Friday, October the 20th at 11 a.m. There's limited spots, but you can go online. But this is something that I think particularly people who like dogs, like myself, and a lot of kids will find very, very exciting. And hopefully it'll bring a lot of people out to wine and dine and have a good time.
Thank you, Tony. I think he stole some of your thunder there. All right, two comments I'd like to make. Number one, I'll explain the lay. I had the opportunity earlier this afternoon to welcome the Hokulea, the Hawaiian sailing vessel, came down from Alaska, pulled into our harbor this afternoon. They're going to spend the weekend with us before they head down to San Diego and then back across the Pacific to Hawaii. So, that's pretty treacherous sailing, especially this time of year. So I take my hat off to the crew. It was nice to welcome them to the harbor. And I think we had over 100 people out there, and I got honored with a lay for being the representative of the district. So, Brian, thank you for that opportunity to shine there, I guess. I also wanted to note that we've appointed an ad hoc committee to support Parcel 17 lease negotiations. If you saw on our closed session agenda, we talked about Parcel 17, and I've appointed an ad hoc committee, Commissioners Stevens and Commissioners Gardena, to be on that ad hoc, and they are to assist the general manager in those negotiations. All right, so we will close the board communications and turn to our staff and general manager reports. Brian?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm always happy to have you steal my thunder. So. Departmental reports are included in the packet. We've got several of our department heads here tonight. As always, great information, good photographs and updates on a lot of the major projects and activities throughout the harbor. So take a look at that. And then we did have a couple of updates as well, and I'll build on what the chair just talked about. The Port District is welcoming the Hokulua canoe to the Ventura Harbor and Ventura community. The visit is part of a 43,000 nautical mile journey for 47 months circumnavigating the Pacific Ocean by traditional Polynesian voyaging canoes involving 400 crew to 36 countries, visiting nearly 100 indigenous territories and 345 ports. So that is pretty amazing. The public are invited for canoe tours and to meet with the crew that's docked at the Ventura Yacht Club this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Details on times and parking can be found on the VenturaHarborVillage.com website. And as Halloween approaches, Ventura Harbor Village is hosting a number of festive events and activities for all ages. There is a witch's paddle on Friday, October 27th at 4 p.m. The Halloween, the popular dog costume contest on the village main lawn, will take place on Saturday, October 28th, starting at noon. And our tenants are partnering with us on a seaside trick-or-treat with the village businesses on Sunday, October 29th from noon to 2, along with the Seaside Skeleton Hunt and Dia de los Muertos display and a thriller zombie flash mob dance. I mean, everything is happening at the village. So come on out and enjoy all of the great festivities here in the next few weeks. And that is my report, unless there's any questions regarding some of our departmental reports.
Yeah, I just had one question. You talk about the Inner Harbor dredging permit amendment, perhaps getting to the Coastal Commission on the 12th. Did that happen or did it get pushed to November?
I think that's a little bit pushed out. I'll have to follow up on that.
Okay.
Did you have additional information?
I was just going to say it wasn't on the agenda, so yeah. It did get pushed out. I don't know. Only okay. It wasn't a lot on the agenda, so hopefully there isn't a lot of pushback from commission. Okay. But
yeah, I think it's more.
I thought it was scheduled to go. I was keeping an eye on it. So.
Yeah, I think it's more at the staff level, and right. I think they just weren't quite ready to go. But I can certainly get more information about that.
If you could let us know which meeting it is, and I don't know where their November meeting is going to be, but I mean, if it happens to be,
I think it's virtual.
Oh, virtual. Okay. Meetings. Well, anyway, if you could just let us know that date, time, location, if it's anywhere reasonably nearby or otherwise, I certainly would like to attend.
Great. Thank you.
I just want to add two things about the staff reports. Got the opportunity to see your new electric vehicles out there in the parking lot. Looks great. I trust they're running great.
Yes.
So good additions. Also, I always like to look at the landscaping. And so I saw the notes about the landscaping over there at, by Island Packers. So looks great. I think that's a huge part of our visitor experience. You know, the village is looking good. All the capital investments we've made, keep up with that landscaping, all those improvements. It just makes it a nice place to visit. So. Keep up that good work.
Thank you. I think one of the things we noted is that we've retained a landscape architect to give us some palette, plant palettes and irrigation systems for the village moving forward to help professionalize the look and fill in some of the gaps.
Yeah, good move. All right, we will close the staff and general manager reports, move on to our consent agenda. This is typically non-controversial items that are voted on in one fell swoop. We have four items tonight. I'll just list them briefly. First one is out-of-town travel requests. Second one is a lease amendment for the Barefoot Boutique. Third one is approval of a new office lease with Rothstein Insurance Services. And fourth is a resolution 3487 accepting a grant for the Surrendered and Abandoned Vessel Exchange Program. Because that is a resolution, we need to do a roll call vote on this. Before I go to that, do we have any public comments on the consent agenda?
I do not have any public speakers.
Nobody online, nobody with us, so we'll close public comments. Commissioners, do we have any questions on the consent agenda? Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll go ahead and move the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'll lay my last.
I do them both.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Aye.
Commissioner Rainey?
Aye.
Chair Blumenberg?
Aye.
Vote carries 4-0.
I even circled it.
It's you're on a roll. Don't worry about it.
It's the lay. It's making you feel like you're in Hawaii, which is good.
Where's my Mai Tai?
That's later.
Later.
All right, we will move on to our standard agenda. Brian, I'll turn them over to you.
All right. I would like to invite the one Victor who is here tonight, Victor Dollar and Pearl Feist, to join us tonight. Really an opportunity for them to share with you the improvements that they as the master tenant have made to the Holiday Inn Express. And with that, I'll turn it over to Victor.
First, I think I've met most of you, but I'm Victor Dollar, Vice President with Brighton Management. I've been here at the Harbor for 18 years. Glad to introduce Pearl Feist. She is now the regional manager overseeing our Ventura hotels, which consist of the two at the Harbor and Marriott itself. And we brought in Danny Efron, which is just been recently moved to the Holiday Inn Express to manage that property. Kind of wing it here ourselves a little bit and ask if you got any questions, but I think everybody knows some of the things that we went through with the renovation, but we started this back last year about this time actually, and thought we had a 2.5 to 3 month job to do, and we thought it was going to be, you know, $1.5 million to $2 million, and all of that went down the drain there. But yeah, as we get into it, this, you know, just what you're looking at there is actually a picture of the of one of our king rooms, and a small boardroom we have there with it. And I guess we could move on to the next slide. Now, this is the problem we ran into. Yeah. And once we got just about completed, we thought we were going to turn the water on. And I think everybody here knows that that was a restaurant previously. And the, you know, the pipe and the sewer lines were definitely not in a straight line like the hotel. But when we got into it, we saw that we had some failures. And as we went through it, it went not just down the hallway, but through the rooms. And there was a number of failures with the sewer, so that we actually had to get a structural engineer in, because we had to make obviously new drainage and new sewer lines. So this is kind of where we're at, and the 3 months went to 8 months, and the $1.5 million to $2 million went to $3.5 million, not counting the revenue that we lost. If we could move on to the next slide, please. Again, Pearl, you can comment on this too, but we did not have a fitness center at the Express for all of these years since we took it over in 2006. Everybody had to go over to the Four Points previously. So we actually put this in at a perfect spot for it, that where we used to do breakfast. But there is some views out there to the harbor itself, and this is the new fitness room.
As well as the ballroom there. It's a mini ballroom, but has a nice high ceiling and it's gorgeous views. It's attached to a patio area, which has a fireplace. And so it's a really nice place to relax, and you could use that, maximize it as easily as possible. And we have Heather here if you're interested. She's the salesperson for the lovely Palladium. Just a nice plug there. We also did some updates to the facade, painting, and landscaping, just to give it a refreshed overall look. And then we can get to the next slide where you can see some pictures.
Yeah, I might mention too, I know we were called, Jessica, I think, called me about some asphalt problems over there. And we looked at potentially patching them, which we could have done with was the smaller area. But when ownership took a walk through and saw the whole walkway, it said, you know, this is not good. So we actually tore it all up and redid the entire bike path. And I didn't call West Marine and ask them for their 2 or 3 foot of theirs. We just went ahead and threw in the couple of foot that West Marine was on their property also. We don't have a picture of that, but I think if you go out to the bike path, you'll see it's much nicer than it has been for a number of years.
So the rooms were upgraded. Everything was done. The most valuable piece was the plumbing, which is the part you don't see, but really was in a rough spot. We did add showers, so that's quite a popular item for customers now. They don't like the tubs. So we kept a few tubs that dominantly shower units were installed, they're still they're all outfitted pretty much the same look. So in that first view, you saw a king, and then this is the double queens. So we upgraded from double beds to double queens, which customers a little extra room. But all the standard things that were in the rooms prior are there. We did eliminate the kitchenettes that were, we had just a few rooms that had kitchenettes, and they eliminated that and just went with the standard room.
And that was more of an insurance issue. They expressed really wasn't in favor of cooking kitchens itself. So the area is still there, but it doesn't have a stove and issues with, which frankly, over the years has caused some issues anyway, the number of, but the brooms are basically a big counter and everything like that.
So it was popular already prior, because the rooms are quite dense. So compared to most of the hotels in Ventura, the rooms here are quite large in comparison. So I'm sure once people now start to get the word out that they have reopened, it will come back to revenue for everyone. Mm-hmm. You could slip on over to the next slide. And this is just showing you the King Street. Yeah. But the other thing that is really important is a lot of customers now, you know, digital, the internet has been upgraded as well, and the power that people have many places to access so mm-hmm. they can get work done while they're here. Big deal. No one uses we have to have alarm clocks, but everyone uses their phone. We heard you earlier, right? Setting those alarms. So that's really important. The balconies are still a favorite thing. They have those little peekaboo windows on them. So customers, when they're there, they can see the view. Well, Danny, is there anything you want to do?
It's just, I'm just glad to be at this property. I've worked on numerous properties for Brightson, and I think this one's really unique. It's a lot different than most Holiday Expresses do businesses. It does not have the appearance that we have here being on the harbor. So the guests, they're very impressed with what we've accomplished, and the most feedback I receive is an oasis away from home. In the Holiday Express. So a lot of them are surprised because they're expecting a typical Holiday Express. And when they come here, it's more like a resort type of fitting and beautiful landscaping. We have new case goods. We're pet friendly. And over here in the harbor, like you mentioned, the 28th of October, we get a lot of folks traveling with pets. So it's just a home away from home that the guests feel really comfortable, and the feedback I've gotten is really nice. We also used to have jacuzzi tubs, so our regulars that really fell in love with the jacuzzi tub, at first they missed it, but now they realize how much space there is in the rooms, and they really appreciate this space more than those tubs.
And we have a nice big budget for
him. Oh, yeah. And I might mention, I don't want to leave 4 points out. I mean, 4 points, this past year, we've redone all of the walkways and hallways. I don't know if everybody had been up there, but the outside corridors were actually carpeted for all these years. And it seemed like we put new carpet on 6 months later. It looks like it's 3 years old. So we've taken all the carpet out and redone all those walkways. We are currently looking at the parking lot. We've got a couple other hotels here in Ventura that we're going to be doing some parking lots with. So they're trying to get a quote where we can do both of them together. I think it's a little beyond the seal coating now that we're going to have mm-hmm. to do some, you know, major repairs over there. You know, if I talked about revenue, I know that's what everybody's interested here. You know, obviously we lost 8 months of 69 rooms. You know, 5 months was this year. So, you know, I think that when I'm looking at the difference in this quarter coming up and last year with the 69 rooms shut down is going to be a tremendous increase. And when I look at Ventura as a whole on TOT, this year is down somewhat for a number of reasons. But overall, we look at being up approximately 17% over 2019, which I think is tremendous. That's kind of what we would have enjoyed being. We got a little spoiled last year. I think everybody knows a little bit about Gordon Research, but you know, they normally come in the first quarter for 12 weeks. And last year, they were kind enough because of all the years they lost over COVID. We actually did over $4 million with them just in Ventura Harbor here. And so obviously we don't have that revenue now because they went all the way into November. So, but this next year I look for us to exceed obviously this year because of the 69 rooms. And, I think that 4 points also will come up. We've got a pretty good increase coming up for GRC this next quarter over last year, as far as room rates. And, so I think everybody's looking very positive for the coming years. I would open up to any questions or
commissioners.
Yeah. Victor, yeah, it's noticeable. Not that it was beat up before, but I mean, it's just the small things are noticeable. And I physically, but I also want to say I use the shuttle a lot, and I'm there early in the morning. And your staff's amazing. Six in the Thank morning, you. Even you know, we're not going in for breakfast, sitting down, using the bathrooms or whatever. They've been really nice and cordial. And the hardest part of really any, you can put a beautiful building, but the feel and the energy is the employees. So whatever you got doing going on, it's working. And please, compliments to you on that.
I thank you very much, and we'll sure relay it to the staff too.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. It looks fabulous. It really does. And for those of you who don't know what TOT is, transit occupancy tax, a lot of cities really look for that. So that was good to hear. I'm sure the city of Ventura will appreciate that. But it is like a first class place, and I'm sure that when many people come and stay, the word will get around that this is the place to be, Ventura Harbor.
Thank you.
Yeah, I echo their comments. It really looks great. But as a bicyclist, I want to really thank you for that bike path work that you did.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very rough. One question, and because it's been a while since I've been in the new part. Does this mirror the new,
It's close, but these rooms are a lot larger.
Yeah,
you know, when they did it, I mean,
is the general design the same? I can't remember what they.
Yeah, so it's pretty much there's a so in between the timeline.
Yeah.
They IHG
okay.
changed their changed program a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
So it's similar, but there are some yeah. small nuances okay. that are a little different from room to room. Like this is more of a grayish tone into okay. the woods. Where the new building, which is now the older building, it is more of a brown color.
Yeah.
So just little things that are a little bit okay. different. But These are the more popular rooms.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Because they're
okay.
Oversized.
Okay.
Oversized.
Interesting. Okay.
And lighter.
Okay.
It's a little bit more lighter.
Well, the newer or previously newer wing looked great, and I think I'm sure it still does. So,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, that's just this is just a whole nother kind of level above, which is wonderful. So.
And then those first story rooms have the larger windows that are facing the doors. So.
Yeah.
Gives you that cathedral feeling. It has a little step down. So.
Yeah.
I guess I get a kick out of my employees, especially new hires that come for the first time, and they're looking for a job, and they all of a sudden you walk into the room and it's quiet, but you see their expression like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And I had kind of the same expression when after we finished the renovation. So this is really amazing. It really brings it out, and not just us, but the entire marina and the harbor.
Those
views. Yeah, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Good. Thanks for being here and good work.
And can I have one more thing real quick? Is Heather in the back, she's our sales manager. And so if anyone needs to reach out or any events or groups coming to the harbor in Ventura, she's the main contact. Thank you.
Brian, you had one more thing?
Yeah, just a couple of quick notes. Since the discussion of bike paths and so on, the other thing we've been talking with the city about is the repaving of Navigator. And so,
remind them that we supported Measure O.
He's right there.
We've had a party at Four Points when it was done.
Catered that event, right?
Yeah.
Complimentary,
too.
So let the minutes reflect that the city has indicated by 2024 Navigator will be repaved.
That's great.
So so that is the plan, that the entirety of Navigator Road from Spinnaker all the way to the end of Portside would be will be repaved in 2024. That's the plan. So that'll be good news to match all of your investment and improvements there. Also, I wanted to mention Councilman McReynolds sits on the city's economic development committee, and they're going through the process of updating their five-year economic development strategy. And interestingly enough, one of the things that is identified in there as it relates to tourism is that the hotels within the city go through some renovations and upgrades. So Bill, you can take credit for this already. You got one done right here. So anyway, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. I just want to add one thing. My wife and I drive around Ventura, like you go down by Main Street, some of the older sections of Main Street, and the buildings need some renovation. And we often ask, why don't these landlords invest in their property? Because it'll bring in more business. Well, you guys have done just that. So now I get to answer her the, why don't these landlords invest? Well, Holiday Inn did invest big time. It looks great. I trust the business will follow. As I said earlier, when people ask me where to stay in this area when they come visit, stay over at Ventura Harbor. We've got a great new hotel. So well done. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, this was just for information, but I don't think we have any other public comments here. Do we have anybody online who wants to say anything? So I think we'll just close this issue out. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
All right. And we'll move on to our second agenda item, which is a presentation from Gold Coast.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to invite Vanessa Rauschenberger up. She is the general manager with Gold Coast Transit District. And we had a chance to meet several months back, and she was kind enough to offer to come to present to the board and the public and talk about the transit systems with Gold Coast and what some of their planning and master planning efforts are for the upcoming 2 years. So with that, I'll turn it to her.
Recently, last year became the general manager. So exciting time for us. Now we are in the process of kicking off a short range transit plan, which I'll talk about this evening. And this is the first presentation we're making for this cycle. So great to get your comments in early on in the process and hear fully from you about the Harbor District's transit needs. Next slide, please. So Gold Coast Transit District, if you don't know who we are a special district that has been in existence for 50 years, formerly as a joint powers authority, formerly as a special district since 2014. And we're comprised of the cities of Ventura, Oxnard, Port Hueneme, Ojai, and the county of Ventura. We serve all of Western Ventura County with a fixed route, large buses that you see, blue and green buses, and then smaller vehicles that provide service, our access service. And that's one of the photos of one there. Next slide, please. We operate a fleet of 61 full-size buses on 20 routes. We operate from about 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. Our fare is $1.50 per ride, and we provide about 3 million trips annually. I will say that that number has went down dramatically during COVID. We were at about 4 million riders in 2015. Ridership dipped a little bit leading up to the pandemic, and then went down to about 1.5 million in the pandemic. And then now we're back up to three. So we've made a remarkable recovery, but we're still not to the peak where we want to get yet, but things are going in the right direction. On access is historically has been a service that has been only available for people who are seniors over the age of 65 or those who have a disability that makes them unable to use the fixed route bus. But over the last few years, we've broadened that service and introduced a new service that we call flexible services. And we're using the same fleet, smaller vehicles, smaller vans, and we provide now open to the general public service called late night safe rides. And it's open to anyone in the evening hours until midnight. It's $2 a ride, and you can ride anywhere in the district by just calling up and requesting a ride. It's sort of like Uber or Lyft, but a shared version of that. We also offer a health zone service, which is open to the general public. You don't have to have any type of certified disability or meet a certain age. But if you have a any kind of mobility issue or medical reason that you are not able to use the bus, you need a ride to a pharmacy, you just twisted your ankle, you can use the same service and just pay a slightly higher fare as a zone-based fare. And then most recently in South Oxnard, we launched a service called Go Now, which is a microtransit. So using smaller vehicles, smaller vans, it's on demand using an app. You can request a vehicle. It'll come to you within 18 minutes. Right now we try to make it under 30, but it's on average 18 minutes. We'll come pick you up and take you anywhere within that zone. And we're testing that out as a model to see if that is something that might work in areas that are maybe a little more difficult to reach. 40-foot buses don't always fit on every street. They're heavy. They're slow. There are certain routes that certainly require a larger bus, but not every street does. Next slide, please. So today I'm going to talk about kicking off our short-range transit plan. As you mentioned, many cities are going through a general plan update process or have housing development processes going on. This is akin to Gold Coast Transit's general plan update, right? This is our look to the future, where we want to go, and we really try to build our transit system to support everything going on in the community. So we want to see where there's new housing being built, there are new developments happening, and make sure that in the future, when we look for funding or we look for grants, we align that with where the development is happening. In order for transit to be successful, we really need to have a community that supports it, right? With land use decisions that support transit, with the right infrastructure in place for people to walk to a bus stop, adequate crosswalks, lighting. We need to work together. And so this short range transit plan is one way that we do that, by documenting what all of our community's needs are. And then we use that as the basis for planning future applications. Next slide, please. The timeline for the project kicks off now. We will be doing outreach for the next 2 months. And we have a survey online, which we encourage everyone to fill out. It is a survey for both riders and non-riders alike. Anybody can fill it out. And we look to take that feedback along with feedback that we gather from stakeholder outreach, focus groups, and meetings with our city staff, and bringing back a set of recommendations that we would then take out to the public for public input, and let them rate some of the recommendations, let them give us feedback on what some of the ideas are. And then we'll be bringing a final plan to the board for their review in the spring, and then adoption in the summer. Next slide. So what is the goal of the stakeholder input? Is really just to share with us what you're hearing from your stakeholders and your the people who live in your community, the people who work in your community. We know that not everybody who works here maybe lives nearby, but they may have transportation challenges. There may be business owners who they themselves don't use the bus, but maybe their workers do, or some of their patrons do. So we want to hear as much as possible from the stakeholders what you're hearing, and also help us get the word out about the survey. The more input we get, the better we can plan for the future. Next slide. So this short-range transit plan will address some of the challenges that we've had. I mentioned the ridership impacts of COVID. There's been also a pretty significant change in travel patterns, just generally travel patterns, times of day, and locations. We face a significant challenge, although we're doing much better, but with the operator shortage, hiring shortage, it's been very difficult to keep up with the market wages that bus operators and all across the country require. So we've been doing much better at that. We had a wage increase in 2021 that helped to help us fill the roles of the service demands that we have. Funding challenges, like many transit agencies, we do not make any profit from fares. We're heavily subsidized by grants. And so, you know, we have to be very creative in how we use the funding that we have. And then we also have a challenge of state mandates. So the state has requires all public transit to transition their fleet to zero emissions by the year 2040. And we cannot purchase any more non-zero emission vehicles after 2029. So we are also have made that an agency goal to begin that process. And that is also, pressures on us in terms of staffing, but also the expense of how we're going to pay for that. Next slide. So this slide here just shows a quick recap of our ridership and the impact of COVID. So the top square on the right shows what our ridership, you can see there in the early part of 2020, that steep decline, and you can see how it's risen pretty steadily since then. The green line is the level of service we've had. So we decreased service slightly. We slowly started to bring it back up, not quite where we are, but we feel like we're now pretty well matched with where the ridership is at. The bottom slide there is the paratransit boardings and hours, the demand response services, and those always align because we only deploy a vehicle when a vehicle is called. So it's a little bit different than a fixed route bus that runs regardless of if there's a rider or not. We are at the last year of our stimulus funding. So we have we received CARES Act to help us through the pandemic. We're using our last remaining of that funding this year, and that next year we will have a gap we are looking to fill. So that is something that we are keeping in mind as we develop this plan. Next slide. I mentioned travel patterns. This slide here shows a shifting. The blue is, and this is all travel. This isn't just public transit. This is all travel patterns in our service area. So in Western Ventura County, this is based off of aggregate data from a service that we use to look at all travel patterns. And so the travel patterns have shifted later in the evening. And I don't know if maybe you're seeing that as well at restaurants and places here in the harbor, but there's just a lot more travel at night in the evening hours than the day. That could also be people who are working from home and they may be not traveling to work in the morning, and maybe they're doing their, you know, activities in the evening and getting out at night more. But it's a pretty noticeable shift in the time of day that people are traveling. Next slide, please. So some opportunities from this plan, we're looking to better align our service to capture some of the new travel patterns. We are looking at the feasibility of a high quality transit corridor between the cities of Oxnard and Ventura, which is our, the bulk of our service. We're trying to capture more youth ridership. Youth are now free on all buses in Ventura County. And so we get reimbursed for those rides through a grant that is, expected to continue for some time, hopefully. So we are, we're seeing now about 30% of our riders are youth, youth college and below. And so we want to be able to try to keep those riders and create lifelong public transit users out of them. Next slide, please. This is a snapshot of our existing system here. So you can see the darker green areas. There are where some of the higher ridership areas are. The dark green or the bright green line that you see down the middle, it's a little hard to see on this map. That is the route that has the most frequent service. So in public transit, we refer to frequency as freedom, right? If your garage door or your driveway only opened for you to leave your house once an hour, it might make it difficult for you to get around. But if your door opened every 20 minutes, every 15 minutes, you have a lot more opportunities to travel. Frequency in public transit obviously equals expense as well, right? Every bus that we have on the road to provide more frequency increases the costs of the service. And so most of our service is focused on the areas where we have the highest ridership, the highest demand. And so that is why you'll see the green line through the middle that connects Oxnard to Ventura is where we have the most frequent service. The red lines represent routes with the lowest frequency where a bus comes by regularly, but much less frequent. And then the yellow lines are somewhere in the middle where there's service regularly, maybe every 30 minutes, but not every 20 minutes, like the green line service. Next slide, please. This transit propensity map here shows some of the factors that we look at when we're determining where people are most likely to use transit, things like population, jobs, youth, college-age students, people with lower incomes, seniors, persons with disabilities, zero vehicle households, intersection density. And so you could see that, based on some of the population factors does somewhat align, but although there are some areas that have higher transit propensity that we don't have a fixed route bus. And so part of this plan is to dive into some of those areas to see where we may have some gaps where we can try to fill. Next slide, please. So here today to answer any questions and just share this plan that we've kicked off with you, ask you for your input on, what kinds of things are important to the Ventura Harbor area. We know that there's a lot of new housing that has been built here recently. There's a lot of activity that's going on. There's been some recent big major events in Ventura that we're seeing, people more interested in public transit as a alternative to adding parking, as an alternative to traffic. And so we want to be part of that solution, that go-to solution that is looked at. Next slide, please. And so I want to share a survey link here that we can also email, and it's also in the board packet, and encourage any feedback that you have. I'm open to questions on anything that we've talked about. And, just really want to thank you for the input that you have and sharing the survey out.
Thank you, Vanessa. Let me turn it over to the commissioners. Questions, Brian.
Let me start off. Vanessa, great presentation, and having sat on the board of Gold Coast, I know that we're getting excited about wanting the streets paved, but part of the money the city uses for paving comes from the gasoline tax, but it also goes to Gold Coast Transit. So it's not a fight. It's really trying to balance it. And I do think that certainly when you look at the lines, you don't see any buses coming down here. And I know previously we ran, I guess, is it the unmet needs? There's a hearing every year for unmet needs or something. And I believe, you know, there was a trial basis of trying to do that with getting employees on the bus to use down here at the harbor. And I don't believe that really was able to sustain itself in any way, because after a year, it has to carry itself. So I don't believe that was able to happen. But certainly for when we have our hoteliers here, I mean, the idea of getting onto the people taking the train to Ventura, which is getting promoted a lot by Amtrak, to take the train and then hook up to transit somewhere. Anything we can do at the train station to get people down either to the harbor, if it's, you know, certainly it's smaller buses, or we tried a trolley before that had its ups and downs. But I think from the standpoint of view down here, as we now look at maxing out parking and then trying to get people into onto the bicycles, locals to use the bicycles, but when people come to visit, you know, can transit be a partner with the tourism industry? It's always a challenge, but you've got to want to seek it out. But I'm glad to see the young folks are getting to travel for free. I think that's important. Now, if you just work on our seniors getting to travel for free, that's what I try to do when I was there, because I spent a lot of time in Ireland and a lot of time in Europe. And in the middle of the day, it's nothing but seniors on buses, because they're so excited they're getting their tax money back because they're not getting charged. But more importantly, they're out and they're helping visitors find out where to go, because they can tell you what to do. So I won't go on there, but I do think that both ends of that equation, because a lot of people just scream, "Why can't you stop the buses? There's nobody on the middle of the day. I don't see anybody on it." Well, it has to run. We know that, back and forth. So looking at, you know, maybe perhaps free senior hours, again, would encourage seniors to get on the bus and be able to help visitors or other people know where to go. I was a little surprised to see the red lines going up to Ojai. I mean, you know, that used to be a really strong, was that 6 or 16? I can't remember.
The Route 16, and it runs once an hour. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm surprised to see so little ridership on it. I guess it just, again, shows that, you know, the people working from home, not coming back in. There used to be a huge contingent coming to the government center, mm-hmm. a lot of those things. But I'm glad to see you're using data to able to take a new look at it, because I think as we do that and as you look at getting maybe new buses or new vehicles, they're smaller vehicles, because and with electrification, that helps in smaller vehicles. Maybe with the smaller vehicles, we're able to do a harbor run, or certain, maybe it's a 4-month, you know, up to the fairgrounds and back and through town, and mm-hmm. maybe that's something that could happen. So just, I will go and take the survey. I'll put it along the survey for you.
Thank you so much. You're and welcome. I do want to say seniors over the age of 75 are free, and we actually are not that, I'm not presuming anything, but I do want to say we are doing a fare study, a fair analysis of our fares. And, you know, we haven't had a fare adjustment in over 10 years. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at is, you know, we know that it's probably time to do outreach about what our fares are and what we charge, but maybe there's some opportunity in that to look at some of the populations that we want to encourage to ride transit more. So we'll take that feedback down for sure and share it with the team here. And then regarding the past, you're correct. We did operate a trolley here. It was not a really trolley, but it was kind of looked like one. Mm-hmm. Probably 15 years ago, that long. And that came about through, there was a petition signed through an annual unmet need transit needs process. And so that we applied for a grant, and we operated a trolley, and it did not have enough ridership to sustain itself at that time. Since forming the district has changed a little bit. The district no longer, we do outreach regularly, but the unmet transit needs process no longer applies to the district, because we use all transit funding for transit now. At that time, a lot of the transit funds were able to be used, the public transit portion of the gas tax was able to be used for other purposes. And so when the district formed, there was enough of a use of those transit funds that now that no longer applies to us, but we still can apply for those grants. And we do apply for those kind of demonstration project mm-hmm. grants. And that's part of why we're doing the short range transit plan, is that the recommendations that are come from this will then be allow us to apply for those grants to try some of those demonstration, smaller bus type flexible routes, maybe try some demonstration to go to new areas that we don't currently go. So I took note of your comments, and we'll make sure we share those with them.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on the new facility. I think I was on the board. We voted on that. It was a long process getting that, but I'm glad to see that it's all set up for that too. Yeah. And electrification, right? You can do charging, bus charging and things over there?
We have developed a transition plan to transition our fleet, but we've selected hydrogen fuel cell technology as our fuel path. And so we are we were the recipients of a federal grant last year through the Low No program for $12 million to build the first heavy-duty hydrogen station, which we are will be issuing our RFP this fall for construction of that. We look to have that online in 2026, and we'll be purchasing our first 5 hydrogen fuel cell buses that will be coming online around that time, and hopefully getting them on the Route 6 and testing them out on our busiest route. I'll say that route between Oxnard and Ventura is really the backbone of public transit in Ventura County. Mm-hmm. The Gold Coast Transit District provides about 75% of all the transit riders in the county are in our district, and over half of them are on that one route. That is really the main, corridor that's used. And so we really want to get those zero emission buses on that route to test them with full of people and see how the range works. And then from there, we'll be able to see if that's going to be the long-term fuel path. And if that doesn't work out, then we'll look at the battery plug-in option. But
excellent. Michael, sorry, just one more question. Will there be any public fueling opportunities at that station?
Good question. So we, as I mentioned, are trying to be creative in how we fill our funding needs. And so we did recently get approval from the FTA to use our facility for incidental use, but we are going to start slowly. Sure. We have a partnership that we're going to be working on with one of our member cities at Oxnard to test it out. And then from that point, we may be able to expand to others. And the same with the hydrogen station. When the fuel station comes online, we'll be looking to see if there's a way that can also be shared, but for now
well, small steps, but hopefully we can get there. As an advocate for the hydrogen highway, I've been for 40-30 years, I'm so happy to see that we're actually getting some steps in the right direction. Thank you.
Great questions, Chris.
Thanks for the presentation. Kind of on that score, what's the average service life of your vehicles?
Good question. It's a minimum of 12, but we run buses up to 18 years. The tanks on top, we currently operate a CNG, compressed natural gas fleet. We use renewable CNG. And the tanks on the top of the buses have a life of 20 years. You cannot operate a tank longer than that. So once the bus hits about 18, we get to the point of, okay, that needs to, be off the road.
So given your target of 2040, you're not going to be purchasing any vehicles that aren't clean from this point forward?
No, our plan is phasing them in incrementally. So we have by 2026, 25% of purchases have to be zero emission. Okay. And then the next year it's 50%. And then the next year it's 75%. And then the next year it's 90%. So we'll be purchasing some CNG buses. And then when we get these hydrogen, the 5 hydrogen buses, testing them very vigorously to make sure that they're going to be meet the needs that we have. And then from that point on, we'll start purchasing more. But we'll still have to purchase the CNG because every year buses are going out of their useful life. We don't want to ever get in a situation where we have to replace 61 buses all at once. So we always try to do, a few a year, work that way.
To follow up on Brian's comments about us old people riding for free and such, What's your current farebox ratio? And I know they relieved you from some of the burdens of that during COVID. So what are the current requirements for the state, and where do you currently stand?
The previous requirement was 20%. We were always barely making 20%. Like, it was a struggle to make it, and we would make it with advertising revenue. We would make it with every single aspect that we could. We're at 13% right now, farebox recovery ratio. And the state has alleviated the requirement that we meet 20%. But it's not a permanent relief, although I do expect that they will probably, there's a committee, the state, that's working to change that. I don't think there's any public transit agencies that are completely self-sufficient on fares. But many transit agencies, this is not an issue because they have a sales tax for transit in their community. And Ventura County is the only urban county in the state that does not have a dedicated source of funding for transportation, all modes of transportation. And so most of the transit operators in the county have that. And so they're easily able to meet their fare box ratio with that source of funds. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, we don't have that.
Okay. The you know, the shift in ridership is very interesting to the evening riders. Have you done any ridership surveys to see if you can get some firsthand information from your riders as to, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, we typically have done annual surveys, and then we're doing a survey right now specifically asking, you know, a little bit more detailed questions. But, you know, from what we hear, it's just the patterns of people's work hours. They're working later. They're, you know, working from home in the morning and maybe getting out in the day, taking their kids to, you know, practice or going shopping at night. It's just, you know, generally a shift in, I think, the way from COVID pretty much has changed everyone's travel patterns.
Okay. You know, another thing you mentioned, which is, I couldn't agree with more, which is the synergy between land use and your operation. And so have you been actively participating in the city's general plan update? And I mean, Ventura, unfortunately, has a lot of very good examples of, how should I put this politely? Less than stellar design of sidewalks and such to provide good opportunity to walk to bus stops and things of that nature. So have you been active in that?
Yeah. Well, our planning team, we have a very small planning team, but our planner, we have two people in our planning department, but we participate in all of the city's design review process, planning process. And so whenever there's any new development or land use plan, or we always look at it to see, even if our bus doesn't go near there, we always look at it towards an eye of, hey, in the future, if this is an area that might draw public transit, you know, make sure that there's a nice sidewalk so that there's a place for someone to get out of the vehicle who's maybe using a wheelchair or has a, you know, mobility device that they need. So we do provide those comments regularly.
Have you, Brian brought up the train. Have you guys try and coordinate with the arrival and departure of the trains and actually getting a, I mean, Route 6 gets near it, but.
At the Oxnard station is where we do most of the coordination.
And the Ventura station here.
It's the Ventura station is not as frequent as the Oxnard station.
Right.
Some of the challenges with the Ventura station, when the trains are coming southbound versus coming northbound, they tend to be more on time coming out of LA than coming from the north. And so the time connections can be really hard.
Yeah.
So if they're very infrequent, and our buses are every 20 minutes.
Right.
And so we're more worried about waiting for a transfer from another bus. Then the
very valid point. The trains are not very timely.
Yeah. Our buses are, you know, 20 minutes, keep going, but.
Yeah. One last question. Your propensity map. It's very interesting, and it suggests, and I'm assuming it is a case, that Oxnard is your highest ridership area.
Well, if they're from Oxnard, they're riding to Ventura and they're riding back at night. So typically, it's not everyone's doing that, but Oxnard to Ventura, a lot of jobs in Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And so the general trend is riding northbound in the morning and riding southbound in the evening. generally on the Route 6, but it's pretty evenly split between Ventura and Oxnard in terms of ridership. Oh,
interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Tony, any questions? I want to continue on the elderly theme real quick.
Okay.
Seems like notice anything we have in common.
I find myself in a lot of conversations with my peers about elderly parents and how do we get them to give up the keys. Yeah. It struck me that your micro services, your smaller vehicles, that's a great opportunity to say, mom and dad,
yes,
just call. Is that what you're seeing? Is that playing out?
Yeah, we actually do have quite a few people who call for their parents, you know, I'm one of those people who think about that for my own mom. I think, oh gosh, I'm going to arrange her trip for her and help make sure she has that mobility when the time comes. So I think that is something that we see people call for themselves, but also people call for family members. We have people from out of state call us and say, hey, you know, I need my parent to have a ride. So we take reservations 7 days a week for anybody who needs it. And if you're over the age of 65, you don't have to do anything but just meet that age for access generally. But the late night service is open to any age. You don't have to meet any qualifications, but we do see people call and make reservations, and it's $3 for that service. So it's pretty low fare.
Sounds like a great program.
Encourage people to use it.
Wish I had that where my parents lived. So, getting to the Port District, one of the long-term goals we have is to promote sustainability. One of the challenges we have is to get to the Port District, you have to drive, right? Because we're kind of away from, but while we do have, as Councilman McReynolds noted, we had 1% of the population live here, but for the rest of us, you typically get in your car and you drive down to the Port District. So somehow restoring bus service or mass transit down here would be great. And, you know, any way we can partnership or any way we can foster that would foster our goal of sustainability. So I guess the best way to do that is participate in the survey and give you some data.
Yes, and please share it with any businesses, any constituents that you have that you know would be likely to use the bus. It would be great for them to fill out the survey. And at the end of the survey, there's always a place for open comment. So, you know, particularly if they're coming from, you know, Ojai or Santa Paula or wherever they're coming from, it's helpful for us to know. And I think another thing we can do is follow up with Brian, your staff too, is if there's particularly a group of people that you know are coming from, you know, a particular hotel, or you mentioned, you know, the train station, a specific information like that would be very helpful for us.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll work to get the word out about the survey and try to promote use of mass transit.
I've got a non-elderly question.
Okay. No problem.
But you do qualify.
I do qualify, but I'm speaking on behalf of Generation X and Y and millennials with the move to hydrogen-based transportation and electric. Are you working with Ventura Community College District to perhaps do some job training so that people who are normally in gasoline and diesel mechanics can be a part of this new mode of transportation?
Yes, actually, we have a very good relationship with both community colleges and the high schools. We've done dozens and dozens of visits where the classrooms actually come over. They get to tour our facility, meet our mechanics. We talk about jobs that we have and we'll have potentially in the future. So we do work closely with the school community colleges, automotive departments, and the high schools as well. And we've hired people coming out of the local schools here to work in our facility. And as part of our transition, our grant for the hydrogen station, a significant portion will go to workforce training. So there'll be more opportunities to do that. And we really want to be, we've talked to our mechanics and they're very excited about this transition because they know that they're going to be one of the first people in our county to be trained on this kind of technology. And so we want to be that center for people who are looking at that fuel source and want to learn, that they can use our facility as a place to learn.
Right. Vanessa, are there opportunities within this next service period for pilot projects or partnerships, whether it's from the hotels and the Channel Islands National Park Visitor Center to other parts of the city or to neighboring cities, Oxnard, et cetera, to look at those? Obviously, there's the survey and filling that out. What is sort of the data that we can provide as a port district that would help support an opportunity for a route to be at least tested?
I think it just will come down to, when we get all the survey results, we'll look to see how many types of survey requests we get to meet a certain, demand. We'll also look at a closer look at some of the developments that come in. So we know that some developments may not appear on the transit propensity maps because they're too new, right? Or maybe still under construction. So we'll take a combination of all the number of comments we get back, plus looking at the land use maps. And then we'll look to see if there's grant opportunities that we can apply for. So if you know of any grant opportunities that you see that you think might be something that we should look into, we always like, please share it with us. And, we always look to see if there's, creative opportunities to apply for a pilot project. It also certainly helps if there's a local match, which is very difficult to come by. So if you have any of your plans to, generate any kind of fees for, parking in the future or any kind of transportation fees, those could be leveraged as local match to then apply for a grant. And so that is one of our biggest challenges, is that we don't have a source of local match for a lot of new projects. And so if there's anything like that, that is something the port district's looking at, that could certainly be a way to help make a project more attractive to grant issuers, because a lot of the times if there's a grant, federal government will only cover a certain portion of it. They want to see a pretty heavy local match.
One follow-up, Chair. Yeah, I think when we met, we mentioned to you, and I think, of course, you're aware of Portside being fully built out with mm-hmm. 300 residential units. Mm-hmm. The commercial, which is another 20,000 feet, in addition to live-work units, are also filling in as well. So that's occurring, and I think we shared with you that we were planning for a parking management plan for Harbor Village and for Spinnaker Drive in partnership with the city. And then the beach parking lots. So we have now filed a coastal development permit for that parking management plan with the city. So that's underway. And one of the things that the board has really talked about is, it's not a parking plan to try to generate revenue. It's a parking plan to try to manage our parking issues. And as part of that, really wanted us to take a more holistic approach to intra-harbor shuttle opportunities. Which there is a shuttle company here that goes to LAX and back who's offered their business to us. But also what we continue to hear is the disconnection between the harbor and other parts of the city. And we certainly have a large number of employees for the hotels, for the restaurants, that I'm sure, generally speaking, would be more within limited means and probably help support some of the data that you're looking for related to, the population that it would serve, in this case, daytime population. So anyways, just some thoughts.
All right. So this was for our information. Do we have any public comments in the room? Do we have any public comments online? John, you want to add something?
I just wanted to ask a question. So the nighttime service, is that available to the harbor?
Yes, it is.
So yeah. Even outside of your traditional routes?
The late night safe ride service is open to the entire district. So that is exactly why we started this service, because we know there's a lot of places that are difficult to reach on the fixed route bus and that maybe don't have enough of a demand to have us dedicate a bus every hour. And so it's open to anywhere, anywhere in Ventura, the whole city, Ojai, Port Wayne, Amy, Oxnard. So it's open.
We will spread the word because there's often people who are looking for ways to come here and enjoy the restaurants, don't feel comfortable driving home afterwards, and are looking for some form of transportation.
Yep, so. It's available now. I mean, I think there's flyer. I think we provided some flyers last time, but we can always provide them again.
I'll look online.
Yeah, it's on our website too.
It's also on our website as well.
Yes, and for that, the fare is $2, and you can pay with an app. So it's download the Token Transit app on our website, and you can just easy to pay.
It's a great deal. Victor?
One thing I might talked about.
Victor, if you step up to the... Thank you.
You spoke about the training for the mechanics or whatever, and I'm on Workforce Development Board for Ventura County on a Clean Green Committee. They're actually working on that now to convert some of these mechanics over to training for both hydrogen, and I think everybody knows the harbor down at Port Wayne Amy is trying to convert over to electric too, and the local union out here is working on some apprenticeships, and I believe there's some grants that that they're going to have to make that conversion.
Thanks for that addition,
Mr. Chair. There was a part two to the recommendation, which is did the board have any direction for staff with respect to pursuing opportunities for mass transit to the harbor? Any instructions, direction you'd like to give us?
I think you, in some of your thoughts, you've covered it, but I do think maybe most importantly is getting the word out to our partners, business partners, surveys there, and getting it not just to the owner, but to their employees to see if they would, you know, actually use the service. And those are the ones that could probably help fill it out most. I know that's the important thing is to try to see if that would work. And of course, it's always fixed route is the timing, but the call dial a ride makes it a little bit more of an opportunity perhaps too. But getting the word out, I think, through the avenues that you have through the marketing, through Jennifer, and out to the to our tenants, I think is the most important thing on my mind.
Chris.
Yeah, and I just as you've done with the city's general plan process by making sure that we're tracking it and getting our feedback to them, same thing through the short range transit planning effort, make sure they understand our needs and our desires and out here at the harbor.
Yeah, I ditto what everyone said, but I think in communicating it, we have to be more prescriptive so that the workforce here in the harbor can easily, you know, just go to the website and see. I think we need to be more prescriptive. Who do you call? Where's the app? How do you set it up? Some planning, because a lot of people don't like searching. Oh, I'm looking at this website. I don't know where it is. I think if you start with the workforce, and then I think when you get the workforce using it, then people who are coming to the harbor will also hear it, and you may get them too. So I would say break them down into segments, the workforce, the people who come and visit, the people who are staying in hotels who just, hey, I just want to go downtown and back, or I want to go to, Oxnard and back, can find something, but very, very easily that they can see. That way, I think it will take. But if you ask for people just to come and find it, that's a big no-no. People need to be shown step by step. So that's what I would recommend.
Thank you.
All
right.
Make it easy. Good feedback, Brian. What I would say is reinforce the comment that you made earlier that, you know, we're undergoing this parking management study, trying to implement parking, and the potential to take some of that revenue and use it as the local match funding to promote more mass transit down here. That's just a great synergy. So I think that's a great idea. And yes, I would encourage you to look into that further as we mature our parking management strategy. All right. So we had good good additions in the room. We didn't have anybody online, right? So, all right, Vanessa, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Great discussion.
My card's here. I'll just.
Does it have QR codes on it? We'll get that on the next round. Okay. So, we've got a request for a short break, so we'll take 5 minutes. Victor, thank you for joining us. We'll take 5 minutes and reconvene in five. Thank you. Hey, let's reconvene our open session and move on to our third and last agenda item for the evening, which is a update on our five-year objectives. Brian, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, you've got several staff members here tonight. If you have questions, we'll just hit a couple of highlights, but included in your report for the board and for the public is the quarterly update on all of our major five-year objective activities and the progress made in the last 3 month period of time. So as we've done before, we'll kind of walk through these, but again, all of this detail is in your packet. So on our first objective D, which relates to dredging, I'd like to point out that Ventura is included in the president's budget for fiscal year 24 at full value. During CMAC meeting, discuss funding in fiscal year 25 with the core staff. We're looking for $7.7 million. As you know, as soon as you got 1 year's dredging in, you're already working on the next year and maybe even the year after that. Todd's been doing a great job with that and wanted to point that one out. So from there, let's jump to our next one, which is our public and civic engagement. And a couple items here to point out with regard to ongoing content development and recognition to celebrate DEI this quarter. A lot of that is with the marketing team and their efforts. July 4th, California Surf Day, National Beach Day, Hispanic Heritage Month. I mean, this just lists a couple of the different things that are identified, but obviously there's been a growing effort on the part of the marketing team to identify things year round. And you saw that in the development of this year's marketing plan in June. Down at the bottom of that page, one of the things that we've done this year is a city council presentation by members of the board and general manager on May 8th. That was our chair and vice chair and myself. And meetings with the council liaison and newly appointed city manager are planned for October. I think our chair is meeting with our council liaison, and we've scheduled a meeting, I believe it's on October 30th, in which we're having Bill Ayoub and the economic development staff come down to the harbor, meet our chair, vice chair, have a chance to talk to him about some of our priority projects and some of our asks and needs with our partner in the city. So stay tuned for that. And you can skip that page. Okay, commercial fishing. A couple of things here. Third from the bottom, and I'm focusing on the achievements section. Their staff has worked with Port of Hueneme and their consultants to apply for CalSDA grant funding to modernize commercial fishing infrastructure at Ventura Harbor with the goal of realigning Port of Hueneme's master planning and long-range efforts and doing the same with ours, where they are a mover of goods and shipping of product to and from Port of Hueneme. We, of course, have at our core a commercial fishing harbor amongst our many other things that we do. With these possible synergies and alignment, we would be receiving what is currently commercial fish offloading in Port of Hueneme would relocate to Ventura Harbor. And as part of the grant funds, you'll be seeing probably in the next couple of months a proposed sub-grant agreement between the Port of Hueneme and Ventura Port District to do what would be a really tremendous project, which would be to redesign and redevelop our fish offloading facility here at the harbor and bring those jobs to the city of Ventura. and regionally retain these jobs. That would clear out space in Port of Hueneme to improve their efficiencies for goods movement, and for us continue our strong culture and history of being a commercial fishing harbor. Right now, the funding that is proposed by Port of Hueneme to the Port Ventura Port District is about $15 million. So that would be used for the planning, design, entitlement, and future development of a new fisheries building. So it's exciting news. Stay tuned on that, and we should have something within the next couple of months for you to consider. One other item I had here, second item from the bottom, is that I've been serving on a steering committee for a Sea Grant workshop that's going to be held on November 2nd. You approved that travel for me, but I've participated in four steering group meetings to prepare the agenda for that and identify potential speakers. This is going to be down in the San Diego area. And generally what it's looking at is a discussion of the aquaculture tools that are necessary for citing potential aquaculture projects, and the tools needed for regulatory approvals at the state and federal level. So it's a should be a packed one-day event, and I've been helping to identify potential speakers for the group there. So we're looking forward to that coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And I'm going to try to take the train and hope it all works out. Let's see. Okay, on to our collaboration with master tenants. Third from the bottom, staff executed agreement with the architecture firm RRM Design Group and initiated the preliminary design process related to parcel five. Parcel five is the grass lawn area. Board's direction to staff is to pursue a activated park and gathering space, event location, and kids play area. I had a chance to speak with the architect earlier today. They're very close to giving me an updated concept design, probably within the next week. And the goal I have for them and for us is to be back in front of the board before the end of the calendar year with a diminishing number of meetings left. But that's the goal, to get some preliminary stakeholder and board feedback. But it's really exciting, I think, in terms of their efforts to date and some of the things that they are planning and programming within this half acre space for kids and for adults and even seniors. So I'm not looking at you. I just, earlier discussion dictates that I make sure that I bring that in. So that's coming up. Very last bullet there, ongoing meetings. Again, this is sort of looking backwards. I'm talking about some things that are coming up, but in terms of the achievements, it's looking backwards. I know the councilman recognized the board and the Port District. There's certainly been a lot of coordination and activity between the city and the Port District regarding Ventura Water Pure, which is a huge project for the city in terms of its water infrastructure. It doesn't stop with this part of Water Pure. As Councilman pointed out, the corner at Harbor and Olivas Park Drive on the southeast corner will become a new facility. I know he championed some sustainability elements involved in that project with his fellow council members. We would like to be involved in that process as well, both in terms of at the staff level. This is the gateway and major entry point into the harbor at that location. And I've also asked that the City Water Pure team come to the board and give a presentation on that project so you can provide some feedback as well. I think it's an important infrastructure project, but it's also a critical entry point into the harbor and should be considered so in its design and physical layout. So that's it on Water Pure. Just quickly on this one, second bullet from the top, or under achievements again, marketing worked with Channel Islands National Park on California Cleanup Day recently, and cross-promoted Island Packers Harbor Cruises monthly. Previously, I mentioned some of the upgraded wayfinding signage on Spinnaker Drive to direct people down to the Harbor Cove Cafe and to the Harbor Cove parking lot and to the Channel Islands National Park Visitor Center, some improved and new signage in that part of Spinnaker Drive. Next. Under parking management, I sort of gave away some of that earlier this evening. We have filed applications for, again, for coastal development permit on that. Really, the lead on the city side is with Public Works Department. A couple of things there. One is street conditions we talked about, and I have requested that Phil Nelson, who is retiring but is still there through the end of the calendar year, come and give a presentation to the board regarding Harbor Streets. Right now, as I mentioned earlier, the city's plan calls for the repaving of Navigator, as I mentioned, from Spinnaker through Portside. It'll actually, as planned, pick up a little bit of Anchors Way Drive from Navigator to Schooner Drive, so on the front part of Portside as well. Other streets that are impacted by water pier, of course, are Schooner and the rest of Anchors Way Drive. So we've been inquiring as to what the finished street condition will look like post post-construction of Water Pure. One of the major streets, Spinnaker Drive, is not currently in the city's five-year CIP. That's something that we need to really impress upon the city, the importance of our major street being in the five-year CIP. I talked about the Fish Modernization Facility. This becomes an even greater distribution and transportation network in terms of getting fish product and possibly future aquaculture products in and out. Plus, it's the main destination in terms of the visitor center for Channel Islands National Park and, of course, Harbor Village, et cetera. So we as a port district and you as a board need to advocate as much as possible for support for the inclusion of Spinnaker Drive in the five-year CIP. Yes.
Brian, just on that comment, Chair, if I might, bringing up the intensification of the use. I mean, I see trucks there, pretty good sized trucks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously that contributes to the destruction of the road, not just cars coming and going, but certainly it made me take another look at it. And now we talk about increasing that facility. So I don't know, some offloading fee or something needs to be given some thought to, you know, maybe improving that road with a heavier surface or doing something along that line, or stepping up the fact that it's going to have to be done, not wait as long until mm-hmm. it gets to a certain point. That I know there's points in time where people say, why are you doing that? The road's in so good shape. Yeah, well, if we don't top it now, it's going to be in really bad shape. So maybe that's something that needs to be incorporated into a pavement management plan for the harbor. I know we have it for the city, but especially if you're talking about that intensification of use, I could definitely see where that would get it all fixed, and maybe mm-hmm. 2 years to 3 years it deteriorates pretty quickly.
Sure. I mean, I think I also see and I think we all see the economic value and impact that this provides to right. the harbor and to the city, right? Not only offloading and the jobs associated with commercial fishing, its benefit to dredging, as you know.
Yeah.
And of course all the other uses for Spinnaker Drive, access to the beach. This is the main access to these beaches here, along with National Park Headquarters, Harbor Village, et cetera. So it's used for a lot of different purposes. And it might be that, you know, possibly we should be discussing the design style in terms of the intensity of use and so on.
Right. Thank you.
Sure.
What weren't we talking with the city about some design issues, particularly as it might relate to bicycle paths on that? On Spinnaker, right, to improve that situation. Haven't we talked with the city about that?
Yeah, but there again, they tie those to bicycle improvements are tied to the improvement of the road.
Right.
And okay. So, for example, with Navigator, mm-hmm. They are planning two improvements as part of the repaving of that. There will be repainted bicycle lanes, and there's also going to be a new pedestrian connection between the Four Points and the Holiday Inn Express.
Good.
So the bicycle lanes, as I understand it, on Spinnaker Drive wouldn't be improved unless the road were being improved. And oh. and currently the road's not in the plan.
No, I agree with that. But you make a good point about thinking about pavement thickness as it might relate to heavier duty traffic with the shifting of some mm-hmm. of the
the commercial activities from the Port of Hueneme. So thinking about the timing of that effort, right? And I don't know what that is either.
It's literally, we're already technically in year one of the grant, but we, again, we need to have a joint use agreement put together. But I think there's a lot of coordination that'll need to take place with the city with respect to this great, you know, economic impact project. It's not just going to be the roads. It's also going to be the permitting entitlements of a brand new facility and all that comes with that as well. But I mean, I think that's a topic to be added to the list of the things to discuss.
But because when we've talked about our landside facilities that might be needed to support commercial fishing, I, for one, hadn't really thought about the roads, but I mean, I think that's part and parcel of that discussion. It should be, and and maybe that's a time for it to be considered and perhaps included in in the, you know, list of improvements that needed to be funded in partially through the grant, perhaps. Right.
So, and the timing and the total timing of the grant is basically a 5-year period of time from start to finish, which just sort of fits neatly within people's, you know, CIPs, right? On parking management, second bullet from the bottom there, as I mentioned earlier, we did file the coastal development permit with the city's staff a blessing on that. Again, Spinnaker Drive is city owned, so it becomes a joint program. We have circulated a parking management agreement between the city and the Port District to Public Works staff. We're awaiting their feedback on that plan. That will need to go to City Council and to the board for approval. It's one of the steps that's needed. The other step that's needed is a change to the municipal code of the city. Public Works is planning for that. I don't have a scheduled date that they intend to go to council yet. But the inclusion of Spinnaker Drive as a paid parking area needs to be added to the municipal code. So that's a step that needs to happen as well. What we're planning for generally is that the Port District will manage it because it's in the harbor. The city will give access to Spinnaker Drive for the parking management plan itself. And then there'll be a share of net revenues, which our goal would be the city will put that back into Harbor Streets. So that's sort of the planning level right now. The CDP will require Coastal Commission approval and city approval, but the city is co-sponsoring the project with respect to Spinnaker. Again, the other areas that would be paid parking, managed parking, will be the village and the two beach lots. So village, beach lot, Spinnaker Drive. Next. On revenues, let's see here. Our last item there, advertising push coming soon, entailing updating website and conducting outreach to Women's Economic Ventures, the Chamber, County DEI Office, Visit Ventura, City Manager's Office, advertising on Facebook, and so on, other social media with respect to our ongoing attraction of a diverse array of businesses and business owners to Ventura Harbor. I've really felt that our momentum has been growing in that regard. And I think, Jessica, you met with the county DEI or had contact with them. Yeah. So those efforts have continued in this last quarter. And we use this, a lot of our regional networks here to get the word out about opportunities here at the harbor in terms of small businesses and leasing activity. Next. And a couple of the last two there, financial statements for Q1, fiscal year 23-24, ending 9/30, should be included in the November 15th. I just got the nod to make sure. Board meeting packet and preparation for the financial audit for fiscal year 22-23. Commissioner Rainey serves as our audit liaison. Appreciate his volunteering to do so or being voluntold, whichever it was. We appreciate your support given your expertise in the field. And then completed budget during budget study session. Again, that's just an annual update on our district bonds, debt positions, restructuring opportunities, and of course, our CalPERS obligations. Our consultant retired, didn't she? So Mary Beth Redding, who's been providing that. I knew I was going to have to
resign.
I knew I was going to have to break the news to you guys at some point. But yeah, that's always great getting from her company those, you know, looking forward, looking at the costs, looking at the actuarials each year. I think we started that about 6 years ago or something like that. So we'll have to find a replacement for her, maybe within the same company, hopefully. But obviously, we'll be continuing that. Our next crack at the budget will be mid-year budget coming up in January, February of 24, see where we're at in terms of our total positions, revenues, expenses, and so on. So I think, is that my last one, Jessica? I've got one more, I think. There we go. Village and other activities, amenities. Joe is still here. He's done quite a bit of work, as you've seen, on brand new trash enclosures that meet new ADA and other code standards related to source separation and path of travel, ADA to and from those trash enclosures to our village tenants, along with other improvements to the restrooms as well that you've been seeing pictures of along the way. So a lot of good common area improvements being made throughout the village, which just supports the overall visitor experience and accessibility. And then you touched on it, Chair, a little bit earlier, but we talk about, what was that, one, two, about five bullets down there when replenishing vegetation inside planters. We're planning drought-tolerant succulents, looking at sprinkler irrigation improvements. And as I mentioned earlier, our more recent addition was to include the professional eye of a landscape architect to support our efforts in both beautifying, but being very thoughtful of water and other issues. So I think that's going well. There's a particular project that we physically completed where we put in brand new pavers, where we removed the old trash enclosures and some of those fingers that are along the main driveway right in front of the village. And there's a couple of older trees. They're going to look at the condition of a couple of those trees, see if they should be replaced somewhere else, and then give us the pallet to fill those spots in with drip irrigation and new landscaping. Gives a nice clean look along that whole front edge there, and getting rid of those old trash enclosures helped as well. So a lot going on there. A lot of tenant improvements going on as well. Loose Cannon, with their efforts, we've completed our work. They have their first permit in hand, and we should hopefully have a full permit within a few weeks to get underway with all their tenant improvements. Jessica Snipes has been assisting me on working through the permitting process there, and get some bonds and insurance in place, and I think they're good to go. So we're excited to see that go from the exterior improvements that we did to the interior tenant improvements that they'll be doing. Boatyard Pub is planning for a brand new front patio to make permanent what was an expansion during COVID. So they've hired professional architectural services, and we've had a chance to see that both out in front and actually to redo the rear patio as well and have complimentary looks for both. Other TIs are happening. Also, the build out of the former comedy club space. Joe's contractor is building out those offices. A couple of those are leased, and several others to go, which, to our point about our DEI and attraction efforts, will hopefully get those spaces filled in. Now that they're framed, I think people can actually go see, envision themselves in a space instead of just a drawing on a plan. So a lot happening there, and happy to take any questions. Again, some of our team is here as well.
Chair, I have a question. F2, the third one on the right on F2 with the Port Hueneme. Should we get this $15 million? I guess it would be incorporated in the budget from then on, how much it would cost to maintain. And my question is, will it be all for capital, or would there be any operating costs to sustain that move? In other words, getting that from Port Hueneme to us.
So the monies would be used for soft and hard costs to develop the new commercial fisheries offloading facility. So that's what the funding would be for. In terms of it sustaining itself after that, I mean, we have a variety of fees that we charge. Obviously, we have offices within that building. I'm sure the new design will continue to have offices that we'd be renting out to our fisheries. So there would be inbound revenues coming from that new facility, offloading fees, et cetera, that would support the ongoing maintenance of the facility itself. Okay. Yeah, but the initial money would be hard and soft costs. Yeah.
I love these presentations, and this one particularly. If there's anything to illustrate what a small but mighty staff that we have, this is it. I mean, the range, the number and range of projects that you guys work on, you know, are amazing. And I just want to give you all kudos for the great work. I mean, the village looks good. I mean, these projects, no one is going to see these for some time, but there's an amazing amount of work that needs to be done. And hope, I'm just going to knock on wood, that's not wood, but hopefully 5 years from now, the community's going to be seeing the fruits of your efforts. I mean, this is an amazing amount of work, and I just want to thank you for your efforts.
Good, thanks.
Question about San Diego, and maybe somebody knows this. A friend of mine was going down to San Diego to see a concert. He said there's a new concert venue right on the waterfront. Do you recall the name of that?
No.
So you're heading down to San Diego for a Port District conference. Stretch assignment is find that new concert site, because it sounds like a good example of Parcel 5 for us, right? I think the venue down there is larger than Parcel 5 would allow, but the way he described it, new concert site with a little clamshell gathering area on the grass. I mean, he's going down from this area to San Diego to go to a concert at that venue, right? So it's a draw, right? And I keep thinking Parcel 5 could be something like that. So curious what that looks like.
Yeah, I think you'll be excited to see what they come back with. But definitely looking at within a fairly small footprint, a half acre, but looking to create those opportunities for a small concert venue, concert/event venue. Of course, you know how successful their little pilot project with the movies in the park were. You know, yeah. It started that last year, continued it this summer. Mm. And I think Jennifer and Ruby reported over 500 people coming out each of the two or three nights that they held those. So very successful. Again, we wanted to create a children's play area as well, you know, with the loose cannon and more video arcade and so on. We wanted to have a new amenity for the little ones. And then I think also still some opportunity for some booths and some other things that can come in there from time to time. So it's a lot to ask of the architect for half acre, but that's what they that's what they get paid to do.
Yeah, look forward to that presentation. So echo what Chris said about the updates here, and appreciate that you're making incremental progress on a lot of issues, some monumental progress on some big issues. I think we identified that we want to try to do workshops every other year, and we did one in 22. Are we planning to tackle that in 24?
So Jessica, can you go back to the public and civic engagement? I think it is on our plan for 2024, as I recall, which is all but 3 months away, or 2.5
yeah,
months.
Yeah, that's
Where is that? Jessica, your eyes better than mine here. I think it's up there somewhere. Let me look here on my cheat sheet.
All right, public workshop every 2 years.
It's quarter four, 2024. So another year, next year from now.
So you've got it as a, yeah. So that was, yeah, that's where we're showing it at the
moment. That lay is going to be a little wilted by then.
So yeah, that's right. It might refrigerate. Yeah.
Refrigerate.
Freeze it. Freeze dry it.
Maybe that'll be the theme. Maybe.
You know, that's
all right. Theme. So we got 24. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Q3, 24. Q3, Q4. Okay. Yeah, I think those have been great. They take a lot of effort to plan. They take a lot of effort to pull off.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure we knew when that was going to happen. So a year from now.
The fisheries building is going to be, it's going to be obviously a very large project, and yeah, we're going to have to really think as a team about resources and management of that. It's an exciting and a great opportunity. It doesn't come around very often, but as a team, we'll have to be thinking about, you know, using a lot of professional consultants, from architecture to engineering and planning efforts to entitlements and so on, given our size of our staff, but still a very exciting opportunity.
You've been doing a lot of interviews with the fishing companies, right?
Yeah, Todd and Dave have worked to with the consultant that was hired to look at opportunities for, you know, master planning of the facility, have done outreach to our existing fisheries. They've begun meeting with the Port Hueneme fisheries, and they have also been meeting with aquaculture companies, as well. So really trying to look at what's here today, what would be coming from Hueneme, and what are future diversification opportunities in the form of macroalgae and bivalve aquaculture.
And that's why you're going to San Diego to talk about that aquaculture opportunities. Yeah, I think that's great. I think the opportunity in Port Hueneme is awesome. My concern is, $85 million, you know, money just doesn't seem to go as far as you think these days. So let's get our foot in that door, keep our foot in that door as soon as we can, before they spend it all on other stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great updates. Any second Nichols here? Any other comments from here? Any comments online, Jessica? All right, we close public comments. I think we'll close this update. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Before we adjourn, I think we wanted to honor Denise James. Denise was the wife of Steve James, and Steve is the past manager of the Ventura Boatyard. I think everybody around the Port District recognizes the excellent work that the Ventura Boatyard has been doing for years, and a lot of that is through Steve's leadership and dedication. So we're thinking of him and thinking of his wife at this time. So we will adjourn in her honor, and we will see everybody November 15th, right? So no meeting the first week of November. First Wednesday of November. We'll be back the third Wednesday. All right, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.